Scripture has to say. So this morning, I want to start with the Lord's Prayer. And then there's a reason for this. I want, as you recite this with me, I want you to think about the words as you say them. Now, we don't often do this. As you know, that's not my tradition. But at the same time, it is a prayer that God gave us a pattern. Jesus gave it to his disciples a pattern. So let's just pray that together. And as you go through it, reflect on the words as you say them. Our Father in heaven, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as you noticed, I missed that one, okay? But you got it, okay? But there's a phrase in there that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a really phenomenal statement, okay? It's a phenomenal thing that God's told us to do. He's asked us to ask him for our benefit, that we would not be led into temptation, but we would be delivered from evil. You know, think about our world today and think about the passions and the desires of our lives and understand this, that God is interested in our holiness. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to live like him. But we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, what we're talking about today. And today we're going to see his description of our being our protector out of Galatians 5. But before we do that, I want to take us to this prayer we've been praying. Now, I've kind of modified this prayer a little bit so it fits more like a prayer rather than just scripture. But this is really the scripture of Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And this is what it says. We pray that you will give us understanding of the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Father, give us the ability to be led by your Spirit as we seek to live with his great power. Father God, we just pray that this morning. We pray that you would help us to understand, that you would deliver us from evil, that you would lead us not into temptation. Father, I thank you that you are doing that among us, and we ask that now as we go through the scripture, you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about how humans were made, how God created us, and I showed you that with an illustration of an apple. We cut the apple open and we used it. But today I want to use this illustration right here, which is the same illustration. It just kind of expanded a little bit. And I want you to see that the fact is that there's a center section, the blue dot in the center, and that blue dot in the center right here, okay, illustrates the fact that the Holy Spirit lives where our spirit is. So we're made up of a spirit, we're made up of a soul, and we're made up of a body. And when the Spirit of God comes into you at your salvation, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, God himself, okay, in the form of the Spirit of God, comes and lives within you, okay? So it's your body, you are a temple of God. You're the place where God lives. So whatever you see, he sees. Whatever you touch, he's touching. Whatever you taste, he touches. So he's inside of you. But we also saw last week that our body up here, our body has not been renewed. Our spirit is a new man. It's new, okay? It's been created new. It lives with the Spirit of God. And so this is the place where God is working, and the spirit controls the soul. And so it comes out into the soul, the spirit comes to the soul, and it starts to work on your mind and your will and your emotions. And in this capacity, you have to understand that when you put stuff into your mind, when you sit in a class or you sit in a sermon, and you're inputting into your mind right here, whatever you're putting into your mind can be used by the spirit or can be not used by the spirit, depending on what you're putting into it. And so the soul, made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions, this is where you choose to do whatever you're going to do. This is where you feel what you're going to feel, and it's where you think about the things that are going on in your life. Now, the soul is how the spirit controls the body. So the body is controlled by these things right here, and the body interacts with our world through these five senses, this sense of taste, hearing, sight, smell, and touch. And so our world around us out here is really the area that is trying to affect us. It does affect us, and we know that the world around us is under the dominion of Satan. And so all of these ideas out here, none of these are necessarily bad, okay? At the same time, in excess, all of them are bad, okay? So it doesn't matter what you choose out there. So let's just say that you like to sleep, okay? This is a time clock up here. You like to just lay around and do nothing. Well, it's okay to have some rest once in a while, but if you spend your whole day laying around and doing nothing, what would they call you? Lazy, okay? Which is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It actually is something that's not so good. You know, those who like to exercise is great, but exercise also is exercise in moderation. Okay, so all of these things on the outside of here, you could take any one of them, and as they influence us, they come into through the body. Now, we talked about this last week, that the body has not yet been redeemed. It's been redeemed, but it hasn't been made new. And so the body is still fleshly. It's still a part of this world here. And so we're going to see today that there's always a war. There's a war between your spirit and your body and the fleshly desires outside of it. And it's controlled by this area right in here, which is your soul. So it's pretty interesting to me that we talk about having classes where we get to know one another, we encourage one another, or we're having a conversation about the Word of God, or we're studying a book of the Bible. And those things are really important in this process because those are the things that are inputting into our soul, into our mind, that changes the will, affects the emotions, and actually affects the body and how we relate to the world around us. So this is just to help you understand where we're going to go with this today, but we're going to read Galatians 5, and we're going to begin with verse 16, I think, okay? It's not on my text here, so I'm kicking it up. So it'll be on the screen. And today, if you're reading the New Living Translation, you're going to find out that it doesn't sound the same as this one. This is called the New American Standard Translation. And I'm using this one for a very specific reason, okay, because the passage I'm dealing with today, the New Living Translation didn't do a really good job with a couple phrases in there that are very important to where we need to go today. And so this is a little bit more stoic, a little more wooden. It doesn't read quite as easily, but it does say what the original said, as close as we can get to it. So let's read it together. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we will also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another." So we're going to go back up to the first verse. This first verse talks about this right here, that walking by the Spirit brings victory over the flesh. That's what the first verse says, and I'm taking things specifically directly from this text where it says, "I say to you, walk by the Spirit." So I want you to understand a couple things. Now, I'm going to go into some grammar here, but it's only to help you understand there's a difference between this statement and a statement later on. So it says, walk by the Spirit. Now, this is an imperative in the Greek text. That means it's a command. So every believer is commanded to walk with the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Second thing it is, it's an active verb, which means that I'm doing the acting. Whoever is walking is doing the acting upon whatever else is going on in the passage. So I'm walking with the Spirit. It's my choice, okay? It's my choice to do this with Him, to walk with Him. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Well, this week we were watching a little toddler. Rosemary was actually watching the toddler. And I came home at lunch, and I got to interact and to play with the toddler a little bit. And as we were doing this, she is just learning to walk. I mean, she can walk, but she's kind of unsteady sometimes. So you stood her up, and she kind of does this kind of thing like this. And then if you were standing beside her, if you put your hand down to her, she reaches her hand up to you, and then she's always looking like this, looking up to the one who's standing beside her, because you steady her. And so as you walk, she'd walk a little bit, and then she'd look up, and she'd walk a little bit, and she'd look up, just checking on where you were at. That's the point of this passage, okay? That's the point of walking. It's not walking by yourself. It says walk by the Spirit. It's Him who gives us our steadiness, our capacity to walk, the ability to be, to stay standing, really, to be walking. So we walk by the Spirit. And then it says, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Remember, we're talking about the Spirit, the blue section of that little diagram where your Spirit's at. So we're walking by the Spirit. We're listening to what the Spirit says. We're looking to Him for direction in our lives. And so that changes our mind. Our will goes to say, okay, I want to do what the Spirit says. My emotions follow that by saying, this is good. There's joy in my life as a result. And then it moves out from there into your body. Your body now looks to the things that are around you and says, I only want to do that which is of the Spirit. So let's just put this into a scenario. So you're at home some night, and you're flipping through channels, or you're walking through the feeds you're getting. I don't know about you, but the more stuff I watch on TV, in fact, the last month has been absolutely terrible, in my opinion, okay? So as I'm flipping through channels, we're trying to find something to watch, okay? And there are thousands of programs to watch, thousands of programs. And there are very few that I look at and say, you know, I really like. We flipped to one channel last night. We thought, well, let's watch this. This got an actor in it we liked. Okay, so we started watching this. We got into it about 3 minutes. There was at least three or four vulgar words. There was a couple other things that were going on. And it's kind of like this show was going no place. And we flipped it off. We turned it off. Why? Why did we turn it off? Now, that's not because I'm good, okay? Because I have been many times where I've been on a TV show and I've just kind of watched it all the way through thinking there's no big deal, okay? So I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying to you that when you see what's out here and you hear the Spirit inside you, the Spirit says, you know, it's not bad. It's just not appropriate. It won't help you. It doesn't lift up your spirit. It actually pulls you down. If you choose to do that, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of your flesh to follow that stuff. Now, it also says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition. I want to change that word a little bit. That's a good word, but let's say they're hostile to each other. They're hostile to each other. The Spirit doesn't like what the flesh does, and the flesh doesn't like what the Spirit does. So there is a war inside each one of you, okay? Every believer, because the Spirit of God lives in you, your spirit is at war with what's outside of you. And the Spirit's trying to get you not to move toward that which is of the flesh, and the flesh is trying to pull you away from the Spirit, and there's this constant tug of war inside you. In fact, there's a story of an old man who was trying to describe what sin was like in his life. He said, you know, there are two dogs inside of me. There's a white dog and there's a black dog. And he says, the one that I feed the most and the one I say sigm to, that's the one who's going to win. The one I feed the most and the one I tell him, go get him, that's the one who's going to win. That's the same way with us. You have inside you a war going on. Even though you are new inside, the Spirit of God is new, your body is still having to be changed. He's changing you on a day-by-day basis. And so He says, so that you may not do the things that you please. You can't just do whatever you want to do, because the Spirit tells you not to do that, and the flesh says, yeah, go ahead and do whatever you please. So you're at this war that's going on beside you. The next verse says that being led by the Spirit keeps you right with God. And that's what it says. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what does law do? The law of Moses, what did it do to us? It told us that if I was lying about something, I'm out of bounds. That's what it says. You know, you're not in line with what God wants you to do. But it also says in Galatians that we're not under the law as a Christian. I'm not under the law. Why don't I need to be under the law? Because the Spirit of God is my leader now, not the law. I don't have to follow the Ten Commandments, okay? But if I follow the Spirit, if I'm led by the Spirit, then I will follow the Ten Commandments. Make sense? Now, this is the other word I wanted you to see. I'm led by the Spirit. So the first one was walk by the Spirit. It's an active verb that's a command. This one also is a command. It also tells us that we are to be led, but this one is a passive verb. A passive verb is something where something is acting upon the subject. So I'm the subject, so I'm being led by the Spirit. So it means that the Spirit is acting upon me, and I'm not doing anything about it. He's acting on me. He's leading me, okay? So if I walk with him, he also leads me, but I walk on my choice. It's the Spirit who comes in, and he leads me in the process. So how does he lead me? Through the things I put into my head, all right? So that's why it's imperative that every believer has a time every day where you sit down and you read some scripture, okay? If you're not putting the scripture into your head, but you're putting in all the stuff, all the music that you listen to all day long, whatever, wherever it's coming from, you know the thing that's going to move you is the music, not the scripture. And so you read the scripture a little bit every day. You ought to be taking time out of your day, some time in the day, to pray, or at least praying all day long, okay? So, and some people tell me that. I just pray all day long. I pray about everything that comes into my life. Fine. Long as you're in communication with the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God as you pray, that's great. Now, remember that praying is not something special, okay? Praying is just talking to God, having a conversation with God about the things that are going on in your life and what you want in your life. We also do it by inputting into our lives through worship, through listening to messages, and it can be my message, or it can be some other message on another channel that you're listening to. It could be a Sunday school class you're sitting in, you're saying, I want input into my life. That's what it means to be led. So when you put that stuff into your mind, then the Spirit has something to act upon. He acts upon that and brings it back to your mind so that you can remember it. You see, our attitudes and our actions demonstrate our inner choices. So you say, so how can I know if I'm being led by the flesh or if I'm being led by the Spirit? If I'm walking with the Spirit or I'm walking in the flesh, how do you know which one I'm doing? Well, we're going to look at a list of things right here. This list of works, deeds, as it were, are evidence of the flesh. And I want you to know, number one, that this is not a comprehensive list. That's why it says at the end, and things like these. So it's not a comprehensive list. So you can't go down through and say, you know what, I don't do any of those things, therefore I'm not being led by the flesh. Well, are there a few other things that could, you know, there are other things that can be included in this. This is a list for the Galatian people, okay? So they were brand new out of pagan religions. And pagan religions had within them sexually immoral practices within them. In addition, they were worshiping idols, and also the blue section up there has to do with all the struggle within this church. There was a lot of struggle where they were trying to choose who they were going to follow in this process. And so as he goes through these things, he starts off with three. Now, these related to our sexuality. And it's interesting to me that they're placed first, which tells me one thing, that even in the 2,000 years ago and today, sexuality was an issue of the day. In other words, the flesh acts upon our sexuality. We are pulled one way or the other related to that. And so he says, the deeds of the flesh are evidence. So if you have these ideas in your mind, these things are happening in your life, you need to be thinking about this. So immorality. Immorality is sexual immorality, having sex outside of marriage, be even before, during, or after. Okay, so it's having an immoral sexual relationship with someone else. So it's a physical relationship with someone else that involves sexuality. Impurity is the idea of impure thoughts, lustful thoughts that are gauged around the sexual life. And sensuality has to do with the lust that we have for things. It's really shameful lust. It's kind of the things that you see put on billboards or put in magazines or put on ads. You know, you'll see, for men, you'll see a woman, and it's just kind of like your eyes are drawn to certain parts, and it's kind of like that's what that is. That's sensuality. If that is not put in the check, it's part of the flesh. Second thing in there, in the green, or the kind of the green ones, are idolatry and sorcery. Idolatry is the worship of anything that's not God. And for these people, it would have been idols in specific in the temple. But we don't have temples with idols in them, but we have plenty of idols in our lives. Sports is an idol in our world, okay? Come out of Nebraska. Nebraska's Huskers, even though they can't win today, they have an idolatrous relationship with that team, okay? Minnesota Vikings, the Green Bay Packers, the Dallas Cowboys, take your pick, folks. If you follow them with inherent, and you get so upset after they lose, I mean, you can't handle it, it says you are an idol worshiper of that team, okay? So understand that idolatry is not right. Whatever you worship that's not God is an idol. And sorcery, the word here is pharmacia, where we get our word pharmacy from, and it's a statement about the worship of evil using drugs to induce trances or meditative states inside of people. And so it's the act of worshiping Satan through sorcery. And then we go into the blue sections, which is very interesting to me that there's more of these than there are of the other ones, because this is related to interpersonal relationships and group relationships. Enmity, that's where you have a struggle between two groups of people or two individuals. They don't like each other. They're at odds with one another. And then come out of enmity and you enter into strife. Strife is the idea that we're fighting with one another. We're not happy with one another. And then out of that comes the idea of jealousy. What jealousy is, to want what someone else has and fight them for it. Or outbursts of anger. Now, when two groups get together and they start to have this problem, what happens? We have outbursts of anger. And then you have disputes and dissensions. Disputes and dissensions, the idea that we're not on the same place. We are disputing the issues that are going on, and factions, breaking up in divisions into different types of groups, and envy. Does that sound anything like our country? Boy, what does that tell you? It tells you that many people in our country are living according to flesh. They're living according to their bodily desires. They want to be right, and they will do anything to stay and tell somebody else that they're right, even though they're wrong on some issues. And by the way, that goes for the right and the left. It's not given to one or the other, okay? We all have that problem when we think about the things that are going on in our country. And then you have drunkenness and carousing. Drunkenness is the use of alcohol in excess. And carousing is what happens when you have excess alcohol in your system and what happens as a result in your body as you're being out around other people who have the same condition. And then he says, and things like these. Now, I want you also to notice, is the word deeds singular or plural? Plural. That means there's more than one, okay? And there's more than one that's listed there, and there's more of them than those things. If you see these things in your life, understand that they indicate that you are walking with the flesh and not by the Spirit. That's what it says. Now, it also gives a warning. This warning is, I warn you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this should strike fear into your life. It should put you on your knees and say, if I practice these things, does that mean I'm not going to inherit my spiritual life? I'm not going to be a Christian? I'm not going to heaven? Okay? That's kind of what it says. In fact, that is what it says. If you practice such things. Now, the word practice here is to do continually over and over and over in such a way that they become part of your life, and there's nothing else you want. You don't want those things. You want those things, you don't want anything else. It's the practice, the continual domination of your life with those things. If that is the case, if any of those things or any of the fleshly issues we're dealing with dominate your life to the point where you say, you have to ask yourself the question, am I really a believer? Does the blood of Jesus really forgiven me of my sins? Now, I don't want to strike fear into your life, and I don't want you to think that you can lose your salvation, because I don't think you can. But I believe there are people who say they're Christians who have those things in their life and they practice them, and as a result, they come in here and they say, well, I'm a Christian because I come to church. And I would say, you're a Christian if you believe in Christ. You may come into the church, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Those who practice these things should ask the question, have I really trusted, placed my faith in Jesus Christ? Have I really done that? Is it part of my life? Because if it is, then the fruit of the Spirit will be your experience. Now, understand here that the fruit is one. It's singular here. It's not fruits. It's fruit. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit, and all that means that all these things are a unit. So they don't just come one piecemeal, one at a time. They come as a unit. God brings all these things into our life. Love, which is sacrificial love for someone else. I will give myself up for another individual, okay? Joy, which is the inner settled sense of happiness, not based upon my circumstances, but based upon who I know that I am in Christ. It's the joy that he brings to us as we abide in him, out of John, the 15th chapter. He says, you'll have peace. That is peace in the circumstances. No matter what the circumstances on the outside are, you're going to be at peace. You will be settled. It's kind of like, okay, it's okay. It's going to be okay. All right. In our world, they need peace. The Spirit of God brings peace to those who are believers, who are walking with him. And patience. Patience is the ability to be forbearing or to get along with someone who is provoking you. So it's not just making the day go longer to say that I want to be patient with other people. It's when somebody provokes you and then you don't retaliate against them. That's patience. Being patient with them. Think about your children, okay? All right, now you get it. So when you're nice to them, when they're provoking you, you're patient with them. That's what that is. Kindness. Kindness is the idea that we are going to be extend graciousness to people. It's love worked out in the lives of people. So it's helping someone who's got a flat tire. It's extending yourself and making sure that someone has food if they don't have food, okay? Goodness. God is good. So it's displaying the goodness of God. What is good around you? Well, that's what we become. We become good. Faithfulness, doing what you said you will do, following through in things. Gentleness, kindness toward other people. It's actually very similar to kindness, only it has to do with being concerned with the well-being of another individual, being gentle toward them. And again, I think about a child when gentleness. So when you pick up a baby, you're very gentle with them, as opposed to coming up beside your buddy who's 6'5 and 300 pounds and you smack him on the back. You would never think of doing that with a child, but you would do that with an adult. So gentleness is saying, I know where my strength can go. When I'm with a child, my strength has to be down. When I'm with my buddies, it can be more. Okay, so that's what gentleness is. Self-control, the understanding that we can control what our body is doing, especially in the world we live in. Remember the diagram. So I understand that my body is controlled by my spirit, by my soul, and as a result, the God of the universe who lives within me, the Spirit of God, produces self-control in my body. Against such things there is no law. Why? Because the Spirit of God is producing them in you, so there's no reason to have law beside you. You don't have to be told to do these things. You will do them. They become part of you. They are the fruit of walking with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. So here's the question. How do you know if you're led by the Spirit or led by the flesh? Your actions of your life will define it. So if you have a problem with one of those things, you can tell right now that that's related to the flesh. And then you turn to the Spirit and you say, Spirit of God, I see this in my life. I want you to change this. And you move, again, it's the repentant idea. I'm moving this direction toward this action in my life, this fleshly desire, and I see the Spirit of God makes me aware of it, and I say, I'm going to turn from this thing. So you say to the Spirit of God, you look up at him, you put your hand up, would you please turn me around? So he turns you this direction. It's your will, but he can turn you this direction to walk toward what he wants you to do in your life. So the fruit of the Spirit does that for you. As you walk with the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You see, we really, as a Christian, are dead to the fleshly desires. We don't have to listen to them. Now, we will, but we don't have to. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. To crucify something is to hang it on the cross till it's dead, till it no longer functions. We can be dead to those things. But here, this is an action, active verb on my part. I have to crucify these things. I have to put them to death. Now, every person that's hearing me this morning understands, and myself included in this, we all have sin in our life that we seem to struggle with more than other things. It can be anything, okay? And so you pick out your sin that really is the one that you know. And I don't have to tell you what it is because you already know what it is. You know the thing that you struggle with most of all in your life, and that's what you have to crucify every day. You literally have to crucify it. You have to say, Jesus Christ, I nailed this to the cross. Would you please kill it until I'm renewed totally in my body? And then you turn away from it and you walk this direction. You identify it, you turn away from it, and you walk with the Spirit. That's what it means to crucify. You kill it every morning. And then three or four times during the day, you kill it again. Because there's something about it that wants to crawl back up inside us. Okay, it keeps coming back. The more times you kill it, the more times it will stay dead, and the less times you will struggle with it. That's how it works. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So this live has to do with his new life he placed in us. If we are alive, because the Spirit of God is in us, and that's what Jesus says, I will make you new. You're a new creature inside. If you live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So how did you live by the Spirit? What was it that you did to gain your salvation? Nothing. God gave it to you. You responded to him in faith. So it was by faith you came to live, be alive by the Spirit. He says, but we will also walk by the Spirit in the same way. We walk by the Spirit by faith. You will not be able to see this. You will not be able to smell it. You will not be able to taste it because it's not of this world. It's of faith. It's the sixth sense, so to speak, your faith. I choose to do this because I love the Spirit of God who lives in me. I love him. I love Jesus. I love the God. I love God because they are three in one. So the God who created me, who gave me new life, lives within me, and I want to please him out of love. And so I choose to walk by the Spirit. I ask you this question. Do you choose to walk by the Spirit and to be led by him? I hope that you do. In fact, as we pray here in just a minute, I would encourage you just to say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to be led, and I want you to change my fleshly desires and help me to crucify them every day. Let us not become boastful and challenging one another and envying one another, because the church in Galatia had this problem. They were involved in those things. They were believers, but they were struggling in this war between the flesh and the Spirit. They were struggling those things. He says, as long as I walk by the Spirit, then let us not become boastful, challenging one another, and envying one another. So he identified their issue. We have to identify our issue. What is it you struggle with as you go through this life? What is it that always seems to grab you and pull you down? Okay, that's the thing that you need to crucify. Father God, we just come to you, and we thank you for how you have built this into us. And Lord, sometimes I think we wonder why you even allowed this war to take place inside of us. And yet, I'm convinced it's because we need to understand that you loved us and you gave us life and you want us to be actively participating with you in living out this life in this world. Lord, if we were perfect, the people around us would see us as perfect, and I think it would cause a great division. And yet when we live out our lives and we are honest and vulnerable with people, they can see that we struggle like they struggle, but we have hope that the Spirit of God in us gives us that we will have a difference in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would take these faltering words this day and you would use them to speak to the hearts of those who are struggling. There is hope. There is always hope in you, Lord Jesus. Spirit of God, I pray that you would minister to their spirit. If they are a believer, would you convince, would you share with them, you're my son, you're my child, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just help them to understand that the war goes on, but they can have victory in their lives because of your work in their lives, Holy Spirit. You never stop working in us, Jesus. We ask that you would continue to work to crucify the flesh and help us to walk and to be led by the Spirit. In Jesus' name.